Welcome to this week's edition of the Pop Buzz Podcast. Coming up, all the week's biggest news stories, including Five Sauce's teasing of new music and Queer Eye arriving on Netflix, plus our very, very special guest, none other than Will.i.am. Strap in for that one. But first, let's go through the stories in WTF News.
What the f*** is happening in the news?
Sad note to begin on today, guys. Sad note to begin on. You, of course, know the story I'm talking about, the biggest story of last week, the shooting in Florida that left 17 dead. Absolutely shocking. Over in Parkland, Florida, at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. I mean, it's so easy to get unbelievably depressed by these stories. One thing that I will say that's very positive, as we are recording, I don't know if you've seen this, students in Western Florida are currently walking out of classes. This is right now. I'm watching it live on the laptop to protest the gun violence and march on the state capitol, which is really what I want to talk about today, guys, because it's been quite inspiring, as I'm sure you've noticed, the reaction from the students who've been caught up in this horrible, horrible event. They're fighting back in the best possible way. I don't know if you saw in particular the viral speech by Emma Gonzalez. Just such powerful words. So incredible. Why do you think it is this time that it's really powerful and kind of hitting home in such a way like that?
I don't know. I guess you take it for granted over here in the UK that if you go to school, you're not going to get shot.
So true. Such an alien problem to us. It's mad.
And if obviously, then when you think about it like that, if I were a kid in the USA and you saw politicians doing nothing, you'd be really angry too. Yeah. And I guess actually that's what the speech is at from Emma and David Hogg.
Yes,
the little crew that they've got going on. What they're doing, what they're kind of the point that they're driving home is that you're doing nothing and you're putting our lives at risk by doing that.
Yeah.
And actually, having someone just say it so simply and so articulately, I think it's just really struck a note with not only the rest of their generation, but everyone involved, anyone who cares, really.
I mean, we hope so, for sure.
It's like the age of them as well. Mm. They're like that age. Like, if you see all the kids on Twitter that are getting really involved in politics, they're all like 17-year-olds who literally have more common sense, realistic solutions, and like I don't even know what the word is.
No, it's true. Any adult
in office currently.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that the 17-year-olds are the ones who are finally talking the truth and talking sense, and because they're not afraid. They're not paid off government lobbyists. They're not afraid of what a constituent's going to say or which way they're going to vote. They are speaking honestly and from the heart. It's incredibly inspiring to see. We should note as well, I guess, the other big news that's come out about this, they are planning what is called the March for Our Lives. Mm. God, such a striking title. It's amazing. That's going to be in Washington, I believe, on the 24th of March. Just another big school walkout. I mean, do we think this is the right... It's definitely making a powerful statement to me. Do we think it's the right way to go? Walking out of class saying, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not having this anymore.
Of course.
Definitely, 100%.
Yeah. Unless you do something, I mean, nothing will change. And I guess that's what's the really hopeful thing about it, because often with events like this, you can kind of feel very hopeless and there's nothing you can do. And you get the typical answers, you know, well, money's involved.
Politicians
have been bought. And I love that quote from David where he said, if you can't get elected without taking money from child murderers, why are you running?
Damn.
And it's just like, that's exactly the kind of, actually, no, we can overcome this. We can challenge these people. We don't need... Politicians shouldn't need that money.
Yeah, 100%.
I just kind of, some I guess might say it's a bit, you know, hopeful, wishful thinking or whatever, but I just think you've got to go in.
First step in the fight, 100%.
Well, I hope like as many people turn out for this march as like the Women's March. Can you imagine, like, if that many people descended on, this is in Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah. This next one's going to be
as many people turned up, like begging for gun control, for Christ's sake. That would be crazy.
We're living in a time where I think people are much more politically motivated to do stuff, you know, because things have gone a bit...
to say the least.
And people are willing to get out there on the streets, put their voices out there, and I really hope... If you're living in America, that there's Facebook groups and there's a website where you can find out details about the march, the walkout. It's in March, isn't it?
March 24th.
Like, sign up, read up about it and do something, because that's the only way
So anyway, and you say with those Facebook groups, I think the interesting thing to be is, like we've said, 16 and 17 year olds, they're not eligible to vote in November in the midterms. You know, us, people like us, if we were in the States, people of our age, they're already knowing which way they're going to go and they're going to use their vote and they're going to use it powerfully. Unfortunately, they're not in this position, these 16, 17 year olds. So they've found ways around that system to make sure their voices are heard, mm-hmm. despite the fact that they can't go to the polls. I was trying to think if there's any other equivalents, but I guess it's all there online. They're already organizing themselves and showing each other how to make their voices heard. I genuinely can't believe I'm watching it live on the laptop right now as we talk. The crowds forming, marching on the state capitol. Incredible scenes.
I'd really recommend also people read an article on BuzzFeed about how they're organising. It's really, they're in...
Like in someone's living room.
Yeah, they're in someone's living room.
It's so great.
There's about 10 or 20 of them and they're planning their media, their strategy, what they're going to say to the government. It is so inspiring. Yeah. Definitely worth a read. Go head over and read
it. And like by 2020, they're all going to be old enough to vote. So.
Well, this is it. Look, this is the changing times, isn't it? These guys are more internet savvy than any older politician can even hope for. Anyway, but it's inspiring to see coming out of tragedy there. But let's move on to an incredibly lighter topic, but one I know you guys are dying to talk about. So let's talk about the return of Queer Eye on Netflix, all right? Have at it. Go. Take it away.
We are so excited, aren't we, Katie?
It's so good.
So, as you might know, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, that was popular quite a long time ago now. At least
when did it start?
Must have been like 15 years ago.
I think early noughties was right.
Yeah. And obviously the idea of the show is that a straight guy came along, got a makeover, and he was more dateable. The kind of Queer Eye 2.0 is that, firstly, it's not just for straight men. And secondly, it's not as superficial as probably the first one was. It goes a little deeper.
It's not surface level at all. No,
it's not. It's really about helping people either heal themselves or live their best life. They kind of, you know, get more in touch with themselves, feel confident and everything. Yeah. And so they've got a new Fab Five. And we should talk about them a little bit.
Each one in specific detail.
So we got Tan France. Firstly, amazing name. He's British. Also, he's British.
Yeah.
Despite the France in his last name.
Was there a British one on the last version?
There probably was.
I feel like there might have been. I don't know. Continue.
Anyway, he does fashion, but he has a very hard job because we're talking about, they're mostly men from like Georgia.
I think they're all from Georgia.
Yeah, apart from like one. There's like one guy from LA, but they're all men from Georgia. It's very hot in Georgia. So, you know, they can't be wearing like fleeces.
Not with that attitude.
So he's got a very hard job of like trying to like get them to try like more like fitting clothes and brighter colours, and he kind of ends up giving them the same thing every time. It's like polo shirts, isn't it?
There's only so much you can do with like a palm print button-down shirt. But he nails it every time.
Then there's Jonathan Van Ness, who is my favourite. He's as camp as Christmas, but he's got this lovely, gorgeous, like, long brown hair. He says, yes, Henny, like, every two words.
Yes, Henny.
We got Bobby Burke. He's probably the only one that does any work.
Yeah, I think Bobby he's the one who's truly, truly got his together.
Yeah. He's the only one. He does interior design. Yeah. So he makes over the flats. And he does a really good job, doesn't he? He does a really good job. And then we got Karamo Brown, who I believe was on Real World, like back in back in the early noughties. He's in charge of culture. I'm not really sure what he does. He gives like inspiring speeches sometimes.
You know, he's like a life coach, isn't he?
Yeah.
I really want him on speed dial so he can just like text me every Wednesday and be like, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're amazing.
Oh my God.
Go for it.
And then there's Anthony Peraski, who does food and wine.
I love him the most.
We love him the most, but he does the least. He does the least.
Okay. Why? Expand on that one.
He's in charge of like making over their diet, and all he ever does is be like, here's an avocado. Have an avocado and tomato salad.
No, but what did he put in his guac? He made this guy guac. So it was like normal. It was like, yeah, look, put some lime in there, avocado, yeah, whatever. How about some Greek yogurt? How about this just cream this up with Greek yogurt.
Oh, what
Anthony,
is he talking
sweetie.
About?
No. Sweetie.
So the thing is, would you... What I really like about the show is this idea that you can just import 5 new friends and they just, like...
Change your life.
They just change your life. They give you loads of compliments. They take you to all the nice places, give you all the new clothes. Like, there's something really heartwarming about it. You know, like yeah. it really goes deeper than what it should do.
And like when you look at the guys that are on it as well, like episode one with Bob.
Yeah, Bob. Oh like, my God.
Did you ever think you'd cry over like a 50-year-old man from Georgia?
Not one that's been divorced 3 times.
Would you say, isn't this
so great?
Isn't this like a direct change? I've not seen the new one yet, as you might gather from my silence. But I did watch the old one, and it was a much fluffier, fun show.
Yeah, no.
The idea of crying at the old version is absurd. But you're saying this, they've gone deeper this time. It's like a conscious change.
Yeah, and I think we all need a Fab 5 in our life.
But, like, going back to the deepness, that conversation Karamo had in the car with the policeman about police brutality and Black Lives Matter.
Wow.
I mean, it's that deep.
Damn, they went there.
It really touches on, like, social issues and everything.
Well, there you
Honestly,
go.
Honestly, you guys, you need to check out this show.
It's good.
I've never felt so passionately about something since the last news topic we spoke about.
Indeed. Well, there you go. All right, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, everybody. Go watch it on Netflix. There it is. Last news story of the week. This is just an angry rant I wanted to insert here. Five Sauce, stop it. Stop teasing me. This is not fair now, is it? Wednesday was when we were meant to have a big announcement from Five Sauce. It was all hinted at. The words "want you back" were floated around. I was ready to go live with my news story, ready to do it. Lo and behold, what was announced? Oh, there's going to be a single later in the week. Well, thanks for that, fellas.
So it was an announcement to announce that there was going to be a single.
Today's Wednesday. Well, sorry, it was Monday. It was bloody Monday they announced it, and then it's coming out on Friday. I'm sick of these announcements for announcement. Doesn't matter, we've heard the song anyway, but that's not the point. I'm sick of these announcements for announcements. It's not cool. I'm done with the teasing. Thoughts, feelings, are you over it?
I feel like the music industry is just running a bit dry on way to promote new singles albums. I fail to get excited anymore.
I
genuinely do. And I don't know whether that's like actually the artist's fault or whether that's just like because of like New Music Friday.
Yeah.
Like, does anyone genuinely like care anymore?
But then that's my feeling, isn't it? Like, if you're going to hype up... Like, you saw how hyped everyone got for this Five Sauce announcement. Their fandom is huge. They've been away for a couple years. And it's like, oh, the big announcement's coming. Want you back. It's happening. It's happening Monday at 6 or whatever it was. It's getting announced. And then it's an announcement that, oh, New Music Friday, you'll be able to hear it. It's like, well, just drop it. Just drop it on the Monday. Who cares? Just drop it.
No, they need to... I feel like they need to do something bigger, something better. What could they do, guys?
I don't know. Some kind of event. Some kind of big event.
You know, like how... people always do like on charity fundraising events, they'll be like, we're going to abseil down a building.
they did that. Five Sauce did that.
No.
I am not joking. First album when Don't Stop... By the way, this is showing my age now. First album when Don't Stop came out, because they were dressed as superheroes in the video, I swear to God it's on YouTube, they abseiled down the side of a building. Now, where is that dedication to stunts now?
Guys, why aren't you abseiling down a building again?
Mate. That's got to happen now you've said that.
Do you know what? I think Five Sauce should have had the Super Bowl and then they should have just dropped an album at the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I like Five Sauce.
Would have been better than JT, let's be real.
That's the level of spectacle I need. If someone's gonna excite me with an album drop these days, I don't need Instagram teasers, guys.
Yeah, imagine that Girls Talk Boys intro. Dun, 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 Super Bowl! Would have been amazing. Next time. The point is, I'm sick of teasing. Just stop it. Although the single is very good, and you'll have heard it by the time this drops, won't you? Yeah, it comes out Thursday at midnight. It's really, really good. So you'll enjoy it. But just, I would have liked it sooner. Just a little notice from me, that's all.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about it.
Now, very excitingly, it's time for this week's guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an absolute superstar. You're going to hear him in a second. It is, of course, will.i.am, Black Eyed Peas legend, tech impresario, and now author. Strap in. That's all I'm going to say. As you well know, guys, we got through... I'm going to go with 1.5 questions in this next interview.
Yeah.
Maybe like 1.2.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't 2 questions.
Now, let's note, that's not to say this isn't the most entertaining 10 minutes you're going to listen to all week, because I guarantee you it is. I'm just saying, bear in mind that we had probably about 20 minutes worth of questions, and just wait and see how many we get through. Anyway, enjoy Mr. Will.i.am. We're back on Pop Buzz, guys. Our guest today, very talented musician. He's got a new book out, ladies and gentlemen, called Wizards and Robots. Ladies and gentlemen, Will.i.am is in the building. Here we go.
What's up, guys? What's up?
To see you, man. Good to see you. Let's dive right in with the plugging. So, yes, the book is called Wizards and Robots. The first thing that struck me is, how do you have time to write a book? You do everything, man. You do a little bit of everything. You're such a busy guy. When did you find time to sit down and actually write a book?
So, I was just talking about this outside with my brother and my team. The last time Black Eyed Peas put music out was 8 years ago.
Sure. Mm.
And the last time we were on stage in a massive way was 2011. We played the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you did.
This time, 6 years ago, this time 7 years ago, we played the Super Bowl.
Man.
And shortly after that, we finished our last show in Miami in October of 2011. In a stadium.
Sure.
So, when do I have time to do? So, from 2011, and right after that, I started working at Intel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the summer of 2011, I got a gig in the futurist department at Intel.
Yeah.
And while I was there, I learned a lot about artificial intelligence, augmented reality, virtual reality, Moore's Law, and, you know, the process in which you put an operating system on a chipset and all the different versions of operating systems from Linux to Unix and iOS being built on the backs of Linux and Unix and Windows being built on the backs of DOS and Android being, you know, based off of Unix or Linux. And I just learned a lot.
Yeah, sure.
So... And then I realized that the amount of money that's going into artificial intelligence versus the amount of money that's being spent for human intelligence is really lopsided.
True.
And then I realized, because of Moore's Law, like Moore's Law is like computing gets smaller and faster every 18 months. And the trajectory of computing with artificial intelligence and robotics 200 years from now, 300 years from now is what? Will there ever be a civilization of robots?
Right? Big questions. What? Big questions.
I'm not sure I'm the one to answer that.
We've got answers.
No. The inevitability is yes, there will be.
Okay. Probably.
Right.
Well, Sophia the robot and all that stuff. We see it happening already.
Right.
A little bit.
And what that is, it's undetermined.
Yeah.
Because we're still building AI now, and there's really no regulations for it.
Mm. Yeah, true.
Right? So this has everything to do with Wizards and Robots. Right?
No, it does. It's fascinating.
This is what was going on after my think tanks.
Yeah.
Working in the futurist department at Intel with Brian David Johnson, the person I wrote the book with.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
My co-author. So I was like, wow. So if there's this intelligent species of robots 1,000 years from now, every time we have problems that we can't solve, we pray to God. And if we're building robots, we would probably design, just based on our own egotistical, self-love for our species that's making something, we would give it a God factor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why wouldn't we?
Right, sure.
To be able to control robots and AI to where it doesn't harm us, we have to create a God factor.
Right.
Those are the regulations that are going to come in place in the next 5 to 10 years.
Right.
Okay.
I don't care how much money you have, you cannot buy a stealth bomber.
I assure you, he can't buy a stealth bomber.
If you have $40 billion, you're not going to buy a stealth bomber because there's regulations on it.
Yeah, very true.
Right? There will be regulations on AI.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And the reason why people are afraid of it right now is because there's no guidelines.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right? So now let's project out 1,000 years from now, if there's a species of robots and it has a problem and understands time travel, at what point in time is it going to go back to its God to solve its problem?
Mm.
Mm.
is it going to come to us, this version that's making AI and robots now? Or is it going to go to the point in time where humans were the most intelligent, hoarding intelligence... Where there's wizards. And the reason why we think wizards are fake...
I was going to wonder why the wizards are coming.
Here we go. Dropped him in.
All right, so wizards, we think they're fake because that's the power of wizardry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. That biggest illusion right there.
The biggest illusion of wizards are it doesn't exist. And it's magic.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to share with you the science behind wizardry. For example, Google... Those are wizards.
Right.
Apple, wizards.
Sure.
Facebook, wizards. Mm-hmm. Because they figured out a way to allow folks to take around a piece of glass and do things in society that humans couldn't have done without data and algorithms.
Modern magic.
They're like humans with superpowers in this way that they can design and make things that make us do amazing things like that.
This device is a wand.
Right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you don't think it's a wand because you know there's satellites that are orbiting Earth to make it work. FaceTime is some wizard stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Shazam is wizardry. To be able to understand songs and rhythms and be able to dictate what song that is in less than freaking seconds.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, racism in New York where cabs didn't stop for black people, Uber solved that. Mm-hmm. It took so long. Humans are trying to figure out racism for years. Mm. Like, yo, how come cab drivers ain't stopping for blacks? Mm-hmm. Because cab drivers are like, well, they're not going to pay me. There's so much crime. And this person is associated with crime. But now what Uber did was like, no, this person is data. And the data suggests he's going to pay me and not have to have even carry money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So computers and so if people think like, yo, robots are going to kill society. No. It's actuality. It's going to solve a lot of our problems that we couldn't solve ourselves.
100%. Yeah.
So how does this have anything to do with Wizards and Robots? Wizards and Robots is a story about this little girl named Ada, who's a computer scientist that programmed the robot Keiku in this time, that algorithm in the future exists to understand its God, to solve its problem, so it needs weapons. To a robot in the future, its weapons are wizards. And the reason why we built robots in the first place is because the wizards have been hoarding information. Mm-hmm. And not educating the rest of humanity with what they know. And how does that play fact in today? Here we are in 2018, and the investments for artificial intelligence outweigh the investment for human intelligence because by design, to keep humans stupid is the best way to govern them and treat them like sheep.
True.
And you should check out Wizards and Robots because it's deep.
Damn right. So basically, you found time to write it. That's what we discovered there. You found the time to write it. Man, I love it. It's so fascinating. You're so passionate about this. That's the best thing about it. And you've always been big into futurism and tech, as you've just said. I was wondering, you've got so much gadgetry or wizardry, whatever we want to call it, on you at times. I want to know what is the like top tips for people, maybe affordable ones. What is the best piece of technology you're currently using every day? What is the most useless piece of technology that's not really impressed you using every day? What are you feeling at the minute? This is a consumer guide, effectively, here with Will.i.am.
My best piece of technology that I use every day is my iPhone.
Okay, cool.
The most useless piece of technology that I use every day is my iPhone.
Right, okay, there we go.
Because how do you use it?
Based on the freaking apps that you have on your phone, that device is useless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But based on the apps and how you use your phone, that thing is a university, your doctor, your counselor, your assistant,
your
organizer. Depends on your configuration of apps.
Sure.
So the if you want to date somebody, you're looking, get their phone, and if they got a whole bunch of BS apps, like run from it.
That's the ultimate
what
test.
Apps
now,
are we
isn't
talking?
It?
Yeah, what apps?
We've got to check.
What apps are we talking?
Yeah, what's the no-no app? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the one app you think, oh, no, this ain't happening now?
Okay, here's what's going to come in the future. I'm going to do something right now. Siri? Oh,
shit. Oh, no.
She's not calling you back.
You have Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Oh, shucks. What's your Wi-Fi?
What's the global guest password today? Come on. Somebody find it out.
Finding your feet.
Global guest, finding your feet. And we'll definitely beep that on the video. Global guest Wi-Fi for
everybody
you
that's
by,
hanging
Leicester
around
Square.
Leicester Square. Don't go to the bridge. And just, okay. So.
Let's try and sound it.
Finding all lowercase?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finding your feet, all lowercase, one word. Dun, dun,
dun. Okay, so we're going to do a little Siri intelligence test.
I'm excited.
Let's do it.
I am excited.
I'm ready.
Do you use Siri a lot? I always find that people always really use Siri or they don't use Siri at all.
I use Siri for on and off.
Okay.
But I use the AI that my company built.
Well, yeah.
All the time.
Well, I mean, that would make sense. That's fair
no,
enough.
Really, because it's really that superior.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
No, I swear to God.
I believe you.
And I don't put this on air because Apple's my family. Don't do that. I love
Amy. He wants that free gear still.
No, I swear to God. They're family.
No, 100%.
They're inspiration. Here we go.
Okay, let's try it out.
Siri. How smart are you at the moment based on the app configuration on this device?
Okay, I found this on the web.
Whatever.
And that's why your tech's better. Yeah, this is why we're moving to the future here.
For example, a person's mind, you know they're smart based on, you know, their what they studied in school, with how they sponge up the world as they traveled, and that is what equates, you know, intelligence and the ability to be able to take your ideas and exchange them in conversation at the speed.
Yeah.
So this phone is fast. Let's say the apps are universities or, you know, buckets of knowledge or abilities. Siri should know that. Mm. It should know how smart it is or isn't. So what's your IQ?
I would rather talk about your calendar and dinner plans.
So would we. Let's do calendar and dinner plans on the air. Why not? Let's find out what's going down.
What does my dinner plans look like?
I didn't find any appointments about dinner in the next 2 months.
The next
And what does my calendar look like?
I only found one appointment.
What appointment do I have coming soon?
I found one appointment.
And what appointment is that?
I found this appointment.
What is the appointment?
I didn't find any appointment.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Amazing. I think if we've proven one thing right there, it's that Will I Am is the king of technology. Let's always listen to his knowledge on that one. Will, honestly, always fascinating to see you.
Sorry,
always so much fun.
You want to see ours?
Oh, please.
But don't put it on air, though.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll wrap up, and then you're going to show us this technology.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll keep up
there. Our is awesome.
And I believe you.
Bleep that out.
I believe you, man.
I 100% believe
it. Oh, Will, it's so great to see you, man. The book is Wisdom Robots. Go get it, people. Will I Am, everybody. Woo! Will I Am, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Man, myth, the legend. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. How long do you think that first question, how long do you think he answered without taking a breath there?
I think it was like 8 minutes.
Close.
I think it was 3 weeks.
It was, I think it was about 7.5 minutes.
Wow.
Unedited. And he didn't even answer the question.
I
just want to know how he found the time.
The face of his publisher in the corner of the room, just like...
God.
Hurry up.
And we should say, I wish we could have kept the mics running. He stuck around for another 25-30 minutes.
Yeah,
just chatting. Just chatting.
She could have just stayed on the mic.
Oh my God.
But the thing is, it's like, on the one hand, it's the most frustrating thing in the world because we had a game planned, we had multiple other questions, we didn't get to any of them. But he's such a charisma machine. He kind of gets away with it.
And the thing is, I got to that awkward point where I was like, no, we actually need to leave our seats now because, like, people need to use the studio. But, like, you can't just stand up and leave from Will I Am. Like,
no.
What?
No.
I think we were all mesmerised by what he was saying. We were like, I'm just going to stay here. I don't think I'm ever going to leave.
I can't remember if we got it on mic or not, but he was very, very pleased with my hair throughout, which really pleased me. Yeah, healthy hair, he kept referring to me as.
He just looked at James and just went, oh, healthy hair.
Yeah, no context, no further explanation. Then we're starting up, he's like, let's go, healthy hair. I'm like, all right, that's my name now.
How does, I would just love, I would love to see a fly on the wall documentary about the people that surround Will I Am, like his manager,
his timekeepers,
his, you know, like I'm sure he has like a grooming person. He probably has his own version of the Fab Five.
Yeah,
he's just like
he would be an amazing member of the Fab Five.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
tech.
Tech expert. There you go. I mean, look, music legend, tech legend, but my God, the man cannot keep to time, can he? Let's be honest. But he doesn't need to. He's Will I Am. I did think, though, we should probably play this. We had a whole game prepared. As you heard, his book is called Wizards and Robots, right?
Yeah.
We had a fun game we were going to do.
Yeah.
We didn't get the chance to. he probably would have been up for it. We just didn't get there. Fancy playing it now? Fancy playing it now, kids?
Let's play it.
This is a game of Would You Rather, Wizards and Robots edition. All right, I'm going to read out some questions. The options are a different robot and a different wizard. You've got to decide which you rather award-nominated content. All right, here on this podcast.
By the way, by the sounds of his book, this makes no sense either,
really?
Because it's not about wizards and robots.
The wizards were humans.
Yeah,
that's what he was trying to say.
The wizards were like, I think he was a wizard. That's what I kind of gathered. He's a wizard. The robot's a phone. That's roughly what I got. Anyway, the point is, who would you rather go on a road trip vacation with, guys? Would it be C-3PO, famous robot, or Gandalf, famous wizard?
Ooh.
Now, is C-3PO the short one?
Oh.
It's the gold human.
It's the gold human-looking one, yes. Come on, okay. Mate.
Yeah, but Gandalf has got, like, skills.
he's got skills to pay the bills.
He's got skills. Like, your mind would be blown.
That is true.
C-3PO does have better conversation, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going C-3PO.
I don't know.
Are we going C-3PO?
I'm going Gandalf.
See, this is why it would have been a great game, this spirited debate right here.
I would rather listen to C-3PO's stories.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. I really don't like Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, so I'm going with C-3PO. That's a conversation for another day. I hate them both. They're so boring. Anyway, moving on. Would you rather have a boozy brunch with Wally or Dumbledore? Oh, God. By the way, you're listening to Would You Rather, Wizards and Robots edition for Will I Am.
Young gay Dumbledore.
Oh,
yeah.
The bonus secret third choice.
Yes.
I think we'd all go for that, wouldn't we?
I'll have lunch with him, boozy brunch.
Boozy brunch with Jude Law.
And then late night drink.
It just extends into a full weekend immediately. Hey, would you rather be stuck on a desert island with Bender from Futurama or Selena Gomez, a.k.a. the Wizard of Waverly Place?
Selena.
Bender.
I love that we didn't even put her character name. It was just Selena Gomez.
Selena.
It counts.
I really like Selena, but I can imagine she's annoying.
Yeah.
No, I'm taking Selena.
Would you rather... I was really pleased with this question. I'm glad we didn't get to ask Will this one. Would you rather duet at the Super Bowl with Sophia the Robot or John Wall, the point guard for the Washington Wizards? Come on.
Hang on, who was the first...
Sophia the Robot!
Oh, right, yeah, well, Sophia, obviously.
She scares me. I'm going to go with
the actual human being, I believe it is. Yes, yeah. The Washington Wizards basketball team. All right, final one. Would you rather have a romantic candlelit dinner with Alexa or Glinda the Good Witch?
Alexa, defo.
Why?
You could just ask her anything and she would know. Like, why would you want to go and sit with the
a
good
real
witch?
Human? All right.
I don't know who Glinda is. I don't know.
Glinda?
Oh, Glinda, isn't it?
Yes. Wizard of Oz. Wicked.
I'm sorry. Glinda. It doesn't matter to me. I don't know her. Get her out of my face.
Wow. Wow. There it is.
So that
it's
was
decided.
Some good content.
That was
there.
Some quality content. Will, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, look what you've missed out on right here. Wouldn't that have been scintillating audio? Yeah.
That would have been an hour-long podcast with Will.
Oh,
I Am.
God. We had
it
other questions.
Been amazing.
We didn't get to ask him about The Voice. We didn't get to ask him about Black Eyed Peas at the Super Bowl. I wanted to ask him about his best Michael Jackson story. He's got tons of them. Man.
Technically, he has invited us to dinner.
That is true.
That's something that happened off camera, but I'm still going to chase it up for us.
Yeah, wasn't it in Las Vegas, though?
It was in Las Vegas on Valentine's Day at a sushi restaurant.
Oh, we missed it.
We missed it.
We missed it. Will, next time you're here, mate. He'll be back in the Voice Live show's coming up. Year. He'll be back in the UK soon. We'll all meet up.
Next Valentine's Day.
And we'll play Would You Rather with Wizards and Robots. And on that note, that's about it for this week, guys.
We have to rate.
Oh, we do have to rate. Oh, God, this is going to be a tough one. Right, okay, we've been rating the guests out of five. What on earth do we do with this man? I feel like there's almost two ratings for this guy. What are we going with? Come on.
I'm going to have to divide it. I'm going to give it 5 stars for Will I Am being Will I Am. I think I'm going to have to give it 1 star for actual interview.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Journalist.
I think it's one extreme to the other, yeah. Katie?
I'm going
to
give him... How many minutes did you say he spoke for?
7.5.
I'm going to give him 7.5 out of 5.
There we go.
That might be my favourite interview of all time.
Very, very good. I need to hit... What's the exact... Yeah, I need to hit exactly 2.5 right in the middle. He wasn't unbearably terrible, but he definitely didn't do anything we asked him to. So I'm going to have to go slap bang in the middle for you, Will. But we will have you back any time because you were endlessly entertaining. And that really is it this week, guys. We'll be back next week with another guest. Shall we give a little clue as to next week's guest? We just interviewed him on Monday.
Very exciting.
What's the clue gonna be?
There's so many possible clues.
We're all big fans. He was lovely. Clue one, it's a he.
Oh, it's a he.
There you go, I've given that away. Come on.
Nose ring,
that's clue number one. Woody, would you like to add another clue? Come on, I'm gonna push you.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Right, just plug your own news story on the website there. Go to popbuzz.com to see what reference that is. Tune in for that one next week. In the meantime, do go and subscribe. We're on iTunes. We're on all those lovely places that you find your podcast. And go back and listen to all the previous episodes on there as well. We'll see you next week. Until then, it's goodbye from Katie. Say goodbye.
Bye.
It's goodbye from Woody. Say goodbye.
Ciao.
It's goodbye from me. We'll see you next week.